The words ring true regardless where they're found, regardless who first said them, but they come from the Bible and from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ, which give them special importance and special significance. Now listen once again. Jesus himself said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And listen especially to that last. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wycliffe, in his translation, had it phrased thus. He said, "Treasure not for yourselves treasures which are upon the earth." Which gives us perhaps a better idea of the import of the passage, especially regarding the treasure in the heart. You might think, well, it would be better rendered, where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. But no, just the flip side of that is what Jesus teaches. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. In other words, that which you value, that which you treasure, that what means the most to you, that's where your affections go. That's where your heart goes. That's where your thinking goes. Your faith follows your focus. Your thinking follows your desires. What you think is most important in life, I promise you, that's what you think about most often. What you put highest priority on, I promise you, that's where you put your mind when you have an idle moment. What keeps you moving forward, what keeps you moving in the right or the wrong direction, depends entirely upon what you give value to, what you give importance to in your life, what you value. And so because of that, it's not just interesting, but it's altogether important that we determine what matters and what doesn't in a life. Because we just have one of them in the flesh, just one life here down below to live. And if our life is based upon our thoughts, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As the wise man Solomon says, we are what we think. If that's the case, then if our life is so much of our thought, and our thought is based upon what we prioritize, it does matter what we give value to. Our priorities make all the difference to everything, not just in the life to come, especially so, but even to the value of life here, the quality of our life right now. And so Jesus gives two very opposing ideas. There's the one of laying up, as he says, treasures upon the earth. And the other of laying up treasures, as he says, in heaven. And obviously, from the first blush view of the matters, it would seem as if, well, there's a lot more value to the treasures on earth than those in heaven, because you can see these. You can have right now these. You can hoard, if you want to, these. They bring so much enjoyment and pleasure to life, these treasures right now, right here, these treasures of earth. And after all, these treasures in heaven, they're just, some might say, platitudes. Pie in the sky. Just wishful thinking. Can't see them. Can't grasp them. And yet Jesus says just the opposite is really under the surface true. Because these treasures on earth that seem so real, they're really not. Because they have no longevity. they don't last. And these treasures that might be diminished in your mind of heaven, they're the real treasures, the one that actually exists, because when all is said and done and life is over and the dust of history clears out, what's left are these things that many believe never existed to begin with, these spiritual treasures. Our eternal soul, our home with God in heaven one day, our very eternal destiny. And so Jesus tells us these treasures on earth, well, what happens to them? Well, you know that. If you've lived at all, and especially if you've lived long, you've seen your treasures come and go. The first car you had, where is it? And you might say, well, I still have it. Well, you may, but you're one of the rare ones. Most of us either crashed ours, lost ours, or we don't know what happened to it. But it's surely not in the driveway or the garage right now. Ladies, how many of you still have your wedding dress? Many of you do. When's the last time you put it on? And if you could fit into it, and that's a whole different subject for a different time, but if you could fit into it, what kind of shape would it be in? How many clothes do you wear now that you wore 30, 40 years ago? The stuff of life, it comes and goes. It's ravaged by time. And you say, well, you build and you build a nest egg, and you've got to, well, have you ever seen the stock market go up and then down and then up and then down? If you try to time it, you're more down than up, if you're like most of us. If you take it for the long haul, it depends on when you start the long haul. Money is not a sure thing at all. And if you have everything, you can lose it all with one bad decision, one wrong decision. And even if you don't, well, if you don't have a lock on your door, somebody can come in and take it. And if you do have a lock on your door, they can still come in and take it. And you think you're secure? If it's not at home, it's in the bank. Well, what about, why is there FDIC insurance? And who really wants to test it nationally for everybody? No, these things of the flesh, these things of this life, which seem so very real, even in this life, can grow old, can decay, can rust, can be stolen, can be gone in a heartbeat. And so what a waste of time, what a waste of effort, what a waste of life, Jesus says, to lay your treasures up on earth when those treasures may not even last a lifetime and surely won't last beyond this life. And we know that last for real because you've heard preachers say it before me. There are no U-Hauls behind the hearse. Shrouds don't have pockets. Regardless how you put it, you can't take it with you. But all these treasures in heaven, a life well lived for the Lord, a life spent in spiritual service to the Lord and your fellow citizens, fellow Christians, a life in which you do your very best in honoring God's grace and mercy to live for Him, that kind of investment in your spiritual self makes the best life here and gives you everything you need for the life to come, because that gives you a portal to God's grace. And so it makes a difference whether you lay up treasures here or lay up treasures in heaven. Let me give you a couple of examples. Two names that you know very well from the Bible. The first name of infamy, Judas. And the second, a name of great importance, and we give great respect to it, the name Paul, the Apostle Paul. And if I just ask you, which one would you want to live like? Which one gives a better example of a life well lived, a life best prioritized? You'd say, all of you would, I think. I'd rather be like Paul than like Judas. But what made Judas Judas? Well, that's very true. A good point be made. You might remember in John chapter 12, the chapter just after Lazarus has been raised from the dead. The next chapter, chapter 12, starts in interesting fashion. You've got Jesus having dinner with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who the text says was the same Lazarus that had been buried and raised. That by itself is an interesting dinner. Martha is serving. What Lazarus is doing, saying, we don't have any idea about. But Mary, bless her heart, Mary, she takes a pound, some translations say a pint, of a pure nard. The King James, New King James, say spiked nard. But pure nard, a costly perfumed ointment. And she takes it and she anoints the feet of Jesus and uses her hair to apply it to his feet as a sign of respect and honor to him. And one of the disciples, he has something to say about that wastefulness. It's Judas. Judas talks about the fact that it's a waste of money because that's 300 denarii worth of ointment. Some newer translations say a year's wages. And the reason why is a day's wage was basically a denarii. And so a year's wages basically put into this ridiculous outpouring of affection. What a waste it is. Well, Jesus corrects him quickly about that. And I wonder if a part of that plays into his decision next. But Judas is summarily dismissed in terms of his idea. But Judas says this could be given to the poor. And the text tells us, and this is what we're looking at right now. It tells us next that he didn't care for the poor. The inspired John, looking back upon this and realizing who he really was, what he was really doing, the situation as it really was playing out, he didn't care about the poor. He held the money bag among the disciples, and he stole from it. Before Judas ever took the 30 pieces of silver to betray our Lord, he was stealing from the Lord's disciples' money bag that they carried with them to take care of ordinary expenses. He was a covetous, materialistic, and dishonest person before he betrayed Jesus. And of course, from this situation, he goes out and he then works with, conspires with those of our Lord's enemies to bring his downfall, which was really his great victory. But for 30 pieces of silver next, he gives up his very teacher, his very master, the very Christ, the Messiah. Now, I say that just to ask this question about Judas. What meant more to Judas at these moments? Money or something higher, something more noble, something more important? And from these texts, it would seem that at this time, Judas saw money as the most important thing of all. Whether he was stealing it from the bag or whether he was trading his Lord for 30 pieces of it. 30 pieces of silver. Just in our language, in our currency, several hundred, perhaps the early part of $1,000? In the larger sense of things, what is that? Well, it's, you might say, well, I'd like to have $1,000. Well, yes, we'd all like to have $1,000. Would you trade your Lord for it? Would you trade anybody's life for it? Judas did, because he put his value on treasures of this earth to the point he was willing to give up on all treasures in heaven. What was his sin? Well, it was betraying Jesus. But the underlying foundational sin was that of covetousness, of laying up treasures on earth to the point he was willing to steal and betray Jesus in order to get more of what he wanted. Now, compare that example of Judas with that of the Apostle Paul. He writes in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, concerning those things he otherwise, before coming to Christ, would have been bragging about, boasting about. Now, by the time he's writing now, he says, as he does also in Galatians chapter 6, his glory is not in himself, but in Jesus Christ. God forbid I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says in Galatians 6 and verse 14. And the same idea here in Philippians chapter 3. These things he might otherwise glory about, boast about. He mentioned some of them. He's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He's of the tribe of Benjamin, not the northern kingdom, not the Samaritans, the southern kingdom, Judah, those who stayed loyal and faithful to the Lord. He's a Pharisee, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. He is someone who is to be reckoned with in terms of his resume. All these things of the flesh, his heritage, his pedigree, his resume, his academic standing, all of these treasures on earth, he says, all of this I see as refuse, as garbage, as trash, that I may win Christ. So where's Paul's treasure? If it were on earth, he'd be bragging about those things. But instead, all that's trash, because his treasure is in heaven. You remember he ends that third chapter by saying, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we wait for a Savior, Jesus the Christ. Paul's treasures were in heaven. Judas' treasures were on earth. Which man do we want to follow? Well, sometimes we say, before we look at it this way, I want to follow Paul because he went to heaven. I don't want to follow Judas because he betrayed Jesus. But the reason Judas betrayed is because his treasures were in the wrong place. And the reason Paul went to heaven is by God's grace and Christ's sacrifice, he put his treasures where they belonged, in heaven. So the question is for all of us, not whether or not we treasure things, we do. And our heart follows what we value. Our faith follows our focus. The question is, what do we treasure? What means most to us? And I'll end by reminding you of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, warning against those who might worry, have anxiety about what they're going to eat or what they're going to drink or what they're going to put on by way of clothing, reminding them that God takes care of the birds. He'll take care of you. He clothes the lilies of the field. He'll take care of you and your clothing. The heathen world, the Gentile world, they worry about those things. You shouldn't. God knows what things you have need of before you ask him. But then he ends that section by saying in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And all these things will be added to you. That's the interesting thing about this whole matter we sometimes don't spend enough time focusing on. If we truly put our treasures in heaven, God will take care of our earthly needs. If we truly put our affection on things above, God will take care of these things we need right now. But if we focus only on these things right now, avoiding and neglecting our treasures in heaven, we lose both. In a real sense, we lose both. What has a man profited? Jesus said this, you know it. If he gain the whole world and lose his own soul, well, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It matters what we treasure. Let's put our treasures in heaven. And if you're here this morning and not a Christian, don't leave in that condition. Put your treasures in heaven. Obey the gospel. Become a child of God by believing in Christ as God's Son. By turning away from sins and repentance, confessing your faith in Christ before men. The Bible teaches that. And yes, being baptized to have sins washed away by Christ's blood. Or perhaps as a Christian, you've done that, but you've walked away and need to come back. If so, what better time than now to come as together we stand and sing.